Amen. Good morning. So welcome to Hope on the Beach Church, and we're just so glad that you have chosen this place of worship to honor the Lord's name with us. So if you're new to this church, we want to say thank you for worshiping with us and give you a warm hello into Hope on the Beach Church as our Christian family. And for that, we say welcome home, because it doesn't matter if it's your first time here. If you haven't been here in a long time or you're here every week, you are at home when you're here with us and God is present. So inside of your worship folder, you have a connection card. And this is another way for us to get to know you a little bit better. So anything that you might feel comfortable sharing with us, you can put it on there, your name, where you're from. Got any special prayer requests or reasons for visiting, you can write those on there as well. And we also want you guys to worship in whatever way is best for you. So during the service, you can stay seated if you'd like. We'd love for you to rise with us as we worship God on this beautiful Sunday morning. And so before we get started today, we do have a call to worship. So at this time, I'm going to invite you to rise with us. And one more thing before we get started, I want to say that if you are watching online on our website or on hopeonthebeach.com or on YouTube, good morning to you. Go down in the comments, tell us where you're watching from, because we'd love to hear from you guys. And most importantly, share this message. On the homepage of hopeonthebeach.com, you can find this worship folder if you want to fill in the blanks and just follow along with today's message. So come and let us worship God, because His Word says that we belong to Him, and there's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's raise our voices to the Lord.
Oh, I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Well, I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you send them all. You still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley, and there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. Sing that again. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn grace. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Yeah. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You know that promise that God makes in His Word? That we belong to Him. And there is no principality, no person, no situation, nothing that you can do that can separate us from Him, His love, through Christ Jesus. That's a promise. I hang my life on that promise. So today I say, no matter what your wreckage looks like in your life, no matter what the hardships are, or how guilty you feel, He forgives you. He loves you. Receive that grace. Receive His grace and His mercy. That mercy that renews every morning. That's for us. Can I get an amen? God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me for when I've gone cold. Lord, I need you. How I need you to away my soul.
Do it again.
God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me for when I've gone cold. Lord, I need you. How I need you to awaken my soul. Light a fire that the world can't burn out, fan the flame, yeah, till nothing between us remains. My life is an altar to you,
Heavenly Father.
Breathe again on the embers that burn in my heart, a love taken back to the start. My life is an altar to you,
God. I'm sorry.
God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me for when I've gone cold. Lord, I need you. How I need you to awake my soul.
Father, we are so in love with you. Open our ears and our eyes to see you today. We know you are here and you're among us. We love you and we thank you for your presence here today. Amen.
Wow. There's nothing better than you. Lord, I need you. If I could take all I got to say today and just give you guys that, I'm done. Sorry, I got a little rattled. Thank you. Job done there, sir. You know, what a journey we've been on here with Hosea. I don't know. You guys can be seated. Sorry. I've even got it in my notes. I do that from time to time. That's why I got it in my notes. What a journey we've been on here through Hosea. I don't know if it's been heavy for you guys, but it's been heavy for me. I even had Dave, you know, our retired pastor that's here a lot. I love him to death. And he told me, he goes, I don't think I've ever preached on Hosea. He goes, that's a hard one. And I said, well, thank you. I'm six sermons in. So this is the guy's a poet. You know, from the Old Testament, and, you know, we don't quite know the exact way poetry was supposed to sound exactly and be communicated back then, but, you know, when we read it, it's a little clunky, but the Holy Spirit has the job to get the message to us, right? So it comes through, and it comes through heavily, and but the journey that we've been on through Hosea, I just want us to pause for a minute and ask, because I see a lot of familiar faces, and I know we've all been going through this together, and we just want to pause for a moment and ask, what have we learned through Hosea? What have we let go of along the way? Have we grown? Have we been stretched? Have we allowed God to stretch us? I hope so, because God has given us a real opportunity here. Across all four locations, He has given us a chance to be used, a chance to see lives impacted for all eternity. We're not a typical congregation, are we? We're not gathered in just one place. We're out in the communities also. I always have a lovely time here, but we also have community worship services out on the beaches and in restaurants. And not just briefly, we've been faithfully doing it for years now, haven't we? But we have to ask ourselves an honest question. Where's our hearts? Is the message of Hosea shaping us? Is it softening our hearts? Making us ready? Ready to be used? Ready to reflect what God wants to do through us as a church? You see, we have an incredible opportunity, and I'm thankful that we are seeking for more land to expand and to grow with hope to offer more about Christ to our communities that we're in. But I'm even more thankful that we are not waiting. We're not waiting to be. We're not waiting to do. We're not waiting to go. We're not waiting to bless others. We're already out there where the people are, and that's good. But let us never stop asking ourselves this. Do we see people and see Christ in them? Do they see Christ in us? Do we treat people and treat them like Christ is in them? Is His nature being revealed through us? Do we see them with His eyes? How are we truly treating others? At the beginning of our services, often we say, "We're thankful that you are here and you are a gift from God." You are a gift from God. Let's think about that for a second. If God actually had a gift, picked it up, placed that gift in your hands, how would you treat it? God just gave it to you. It's physically in your hands now. Many of you have had children, so you already know. With care, with honor, with gratitude. So what does that mean for how we treat one another? How we view one another as a child of God? Take a moment. This may be a little awkward, and I'm sorry, but it's an exercise we did this morning at Inlet, and it was comical, but it worked. Take a moment. Look at someone next to you or around you. Even better if you don't know them. Just take a look. Even better still if you don't like them. Take more than a second and really look at them. Really see them. Hey, this is, like I say, it's going to feel a little awkward, but it's okay. Now say to them, "You are a gift from God." Do you believe that? Amen. Do we live like we believe that? Because when we do, we begin to see people the way God sees them, created in His image, full of value, worthy of love. And here's the truth. God's love is far greater than anything we can fully understand. So let's turn now to Hosea one more time and see just how powerful God's love really is. Looking in your bulletin, you're going to see in Hosea, "I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall blossom like the lily. He shall take root like the trees of Lebanon. His shoots shall spread out. His beauty shall be like the olive, and his fragrance like Lebanon. They shall return and dwell beneath my shadow. They shall flourish like the grain. They shall blossom like the wine of vine. Their fame shall be like the wine of Lebanon. O Ephraim, what have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look at you. I'm like an evergreen cypress. From me comes your fruit." Ephraim is another name for Israel, northern kingdom, as a matter of fact. And it is from God that all good things come. Amen. And what we see here in Hosea is this: God restores His unfaithful people purely out of mercy and His love. Not because they earned it. Not because they turned things around first. Not as a reward. It's undeserved. When we look back over these weeks that we studied Hosea, we remember what Israel was doing. Do you guys remember? They were offering praises to Baal, giving credit to false gods for what the Lord had already provided. And yet God says, "I am. It is I, Yahweh, I am the one who fed you. I'm the one who gave you grain. I'm the one that sustained your life. Everything that you have, it all came from me. And still, they turned away. In what we read, Hosea uses the word apostasy. To a Christian ear, current day, that sounds like doctrinal failure, falling into false belief, heresy. That's probably the word that you identify most with when we hear that word apostasy, abandoning truth. But to the Israelites of that day and to Hosea, it carried the image of a drifting away, astray, a lost child, wandering. God is not just calling them rebellious. He's calling them lost. And that matters because it reveals His heart. As we started to describe this, I even felt the heaviness of it. It's like it's a broken heart. Because what does God do with strays? He doesn't replace them. He doesn't discard them. He doesn't say, "You made your choice. Live with it." He goes after them. He pursues them. This is what makes Hosea so stunning. God fully exposes their unfaithfulness, their spiritual adultery, and then responds with amazing love. His love overcomes their apostasy. He does not ignore their sin, though, but He refuses to let sin do what sin wants to do. Sin wants to control the final outcome. You understand? Sin wants to control your final outcome, to stack the deck against you, to control the end and give you exactly the outcome that you deserve because you're favored by God and the enemy hates it. Sin always has an agenda. It's death. But we don't have to let that sin stack the deck against us, do we? This is where we see something we are not capable of on our own. This is where, because of God's love, it's different from our love. Our love usually has limits. We love when we receive something back. It's transactional. We forgive to a point. But God's love's different. God's love pursues the one who has gone astray. His love restores, not because the person deserves it, but because of who He is. And that's the key here. God's actions flow from His nature, not our performance. He gives us grace. It's not about how big or noticed we can become or how much control we can have. It's how willing we are to become less, so that Christ is clearly seen in us, less of me, more of Him. And this is where Hosea doesn't only tell Israel's story, it tells ours too. Because we are also prone to go astray, to wander. We may not be literally bowing to Baal today, even though there are some cults that still do it. Don't go research that. That's a rabbit hole. Skip that. But we give our trust, our security, our praise to other things. That is the same thing as false God in Hosea. And yet, God still says, "I'm the one who provides for you. I'm the one who sustains you. I'm the one who loves you." A love that doesn't give up on strays, but brings them home. This shows us that, one, God's steadfast love is demonstrated. Where? Ultimately on the cross. It is a love that serves, a love that sacrifices, a love that forgives, a love that does not give up on you or look down on you. And that same love is given to you freely, completely undeserved. And now because you are loved like that, you're free. Free to serve, free to forgive, free to love with a love that's not your own, but His. Free to truly love others with that same love. Doing so, you are not earning anything. You already have everything you need in Christ. So you are free. free to see the person in front of you as not an interruption, not in the way, but as a gift. To value them as He does. God's ways are far greater than ours, you see, because His love is far greater than ours. It is stronger than sin, and it's more faithful than we can ever be. Which brings us to A, His love is unconditional. This is not in your bulletin and not in the script, but I'm going to read the scripture because it's a very good description of what His love is like. I'm in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up on my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. So in this, if I stand here and preach the best sermon ever given in any language, I can lay out the deepest theology, preach like my life depended on it, preach like it's my last sermon. And it could be. We're not promised tomorrow, are we? We could have the Book of Concord memorized. We could have the knowledge of every Lutheran theology. We could stand in prayer tents and pray thousands of people. We could give our time, our energy, lay down our lives for someone. But if we do not have love, what do we have, church? Nothing. No love. Then I'm just up here making noise. It may be pleasing to the ears with a lot of wisdom, but without love, nothing. Just noise. That's what Corinthians says. Because the issue here isn't how much we know. It's not about how well I speak. It's not even about how much I do or what we do. The question is, do we love the people beside of us the way Christ loves them? Do we have the willingness to treat others the way He would treat them? To see ourselves not above them, not ahead of them, but as their servant. Not because we have to, not obligation, but because we really love them. Because I actually believe His love changes everything. That is the love that overcomes sin, overcomes brokenness, overcomes stray hearts. You see, without that kind of love, even the best theologian becomes hollow. We can value traditions, spiritual gifts, talents, visible acts, slick presentations, oftentimes more than love. It's possible to stand up here, speak truth, serve, or even lead, and still lack genuine love. Here's an interesting fact. Do you know the difference between a psychopath and a sociopath? A psychopath does not care if you live or die. They have no value of human life. They completely lack empathy, absence of it. They're not always serial killers, but all serial killers are psychopaths. Sociopath? A little different, but they don't care about how you feel. They also lack empathy. You mean nothing to them. They have no feelings for you, but your life serves them. It's all an empty game to see how to control you. Both are very cold. You see, without love, truth turns cold. Without love, service becomes pride. Without love, ministry becomes a performance. And that should be a warning. That should wake us up to get over ourselves. We're not as smart as we think we are. The scripture says, God says, I confound the wise. Who do we think we are? But here's also the reality, the honest truth. We don't love like that naturally, do we? No, we don't. We are impatient. We're self-focused. We're self-absorbed. We draw lines. We choose who deserves our time and who doesn't. We can categorize and group people who we prefer. Because we're broken people. Every single one of us. Broken people. We cannot manufacture this kind of love on our own. Left to ourselves, we're spiritually dry and fruitless, just like the Israelites in Hosea. And that's why we don't just need a person who is a good example. We need a Savior. You see, the only way we can love anyone is because Christ first loved us. It's if you truly love someone, it's Christ in you. You are doing it through Him. You can't do anything good on your own intention because you are broken. Your intentions are flawed and broken too. As it says in Philippians, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. But here's some good news. God's love for you does not depend on how well you love others. He doesn't wait for you to get it right. He doesn't say, come clean yourself up and then I'll love you. No. While we're still broken, wandering, stray, lost children, still falling, failing and falling away, Christ loves us. Christ came for us. Christ gave Himself for us. And here's more good news. B, God's love heals. When we talk about healing, we often think of relief, fixing what's broken, easing the pain, making things better. But in Hosea, God's not just interested in a slight abrasion. He cares more about the condition of your heart than where your feet are. He is after something deeper, much deeper. He's healing hearts that have wandered, healing people who have gone astray, healing a relationship that's been broken by spiritual adultery of turning away from Him, offering alms to false gods. Notice in Hosea, though, who's doing the work? I will heal. They're not fixing themselves. They're not earning their way back to Him. No, they will not prove they're worthy to be my children. God says, I will do it. It's always Him. That's grace. That's the free gift. This points directly to Christ who heals our unfaithfulness through shedding His blood on the cross. I will heal their apostasy, their heresy, He said. I will love them freely. He is the source of life. From Jesus comes your fruit and my fruit. So let's ask ourselves these questions. Where am I looking for life or fulfillment apart from Christ? Do I believe God's love is truly free, or do I try to earn it? Do I try to fix every little thing, or do I trust Jesus with every little thing? Going forward, practice regular repentance. Forgive me, O Lord. Oh my gosh, that's what shook me up in that song. Thank you, Roberto. Trust that God's grace is not based on your performance. Stay rooted in the Word, the place where God restores us, and find time with other believers who do the same. Which brings us to the next thing in our notes, which is Matthew 11. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. True rest. Jesus invites the weary sinner into true rest. It's what He offered the lady at the well. He is inviting us to merely let go of control of everything in our lives and trust Him completely. As long as we're holding on, we're holding back from what He desires to do in us. He wants all of you. So give it to Him. You know why? Because He's trustworthy. He's shown it for thousands of years, wrote us letters of love, put Himself on a cross and died for us. He's trustworthy. He's real. Which brings us to next in your notes, too. God creates new life where there was only barrenness. Again, the Lord says in Hosea, I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall blossom like the lily. His shoots shall spread out. This is a picture of transformation. Because what was there before? No life, but dryness spiritually. Sin had left a barren land in them. Their wandering had drained them. Their chasing after other gods, their wants, the control, had produced nothing lasting. And that's what sin always does. But as we read in your notes, God has another plan for us. Back to John. In your bulletin, it says, this is so sweet in here. It's so awesome. It says, God, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine. You're the branches. But whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Our life depends on God's presence, not our own strength. You are not designed to carry all that weight. Life and fruit only come through remaining in Christ. Stop trying to figure it all out. This is how I learned how to abide. I was, 3 years in a shop, 8 years total. And, you know, I had a successful run in a small business in my 20s and 30s. And then we had a little stint in corporate America. And I got back into small business area again, a couple of different businesses. Both our businesses actually mostly by accident, without much intention. Being a serial entrepreneur, you trip up and do that sometimes. But I found myself often in a wood shop alone. There were 3 years I heard only from the Lord after much seeking. Just be. Just be. That's all he'd give me. And I'm hard-headed is the reason. It took 3 years for me to let go enough to get more of that message. And then 8 full years until I entered full-time ministry with this message. Be, do, go, have, bless. Be who God created you to be. Do whatever it is that God calls you to do. Go wherever it is that God calls you to go. Because he will provide for you and give you provision so you'll have whatever it is that you need to have to bless whoever it is that you need to bless. You see, I complicate things, and God made sure I had a simple blueprint to understand how to abide in him, which came through a lot of seeking, reading, drawing the blueprint from his word and praying. Scripture and prayer is the bread of life. And the air I breathe, I need it. Can't live without it. B, in your notes, branches do not produce life. They receive it. Apart from me, he says, you can do nothing. Just like the Israelites, we often try to live independently from Christ, even in our good works. Spiritual burnout, emptiness, reveal disconnect from the vine. Back to striving, doing it without him. But Christ is the vine. We are the branches. Abiding is not striving. It's receiving. It's just being. Through the word and communion with him, Christ keeps us connected to him. Communing, yes, in the act that we do, that's so honored. But communing is talking and reading his word regularly and not as a task. Communicating with him. In him we bear fruit, not to earn salvation, but to acknowledge his free gift. We can do nothing apart from him. Questions again to ask ourselves, am I trying to produce fruit apart from Christ? It's in vain. What does abiding look like in my daily life? How can I just be? Abide today, right now, in him. Just be. Going forward, prioritize time in Scripture, not as a task, but as receiving life. There's mega church study that was done. How to get people to go deeper. Because they got really good at getting people in to the point they didn't care who left because they could cycle and keep 30,000 people coming. But they ran into something they figured out. People weren't going much deeper. They were here for an experience and then cycling through, going other places. So they did a study, which would have saved them a lot of money if they had just read the word. I think it was Stanford who did the study. But this is what they found out. What causes people to go deeper? Time alone in the Word. What else causes people to go deeper? Time alone in prayer. Then spend time with others who do the same. That's how you go deeper. There's a business guy, John Maxwell, that says this. He says, you're only going to be as successful as the people you surround yourself with. So I challenge you to going forward, find people that spend time alone in the Word, spend time in prayer, and surround yourself with those people. So allow the Word to become the bread of your life. Let prayer, talking to God, become the air that you breathe. This is what you need to be sustained. Then, trust that God produces fruit in you over time. He will. He wants to use every one of you. He cares for you and wants to bless people through you. So you'll see that three, God becomes our security in our future. And this leads us to John 3:16, which is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I was thankful this morning, this was in the outline, because Ray was there in the very first lesson. I'm only six sermons in here, so Ray told me the very first lesson. He said, if you ever get stuck up there, just go to 3:16. I was like, hey, look, it's in the outline. I'm not stuck. our security is in the vine, not idols. Let me say this in a way you can take it to the bank and deposit it. I try to get... There's different personalities that hear this, so I'm going to do something here with you. We need to put our trust in the right column on your balance sheet. So in this section, we often have our trust in the column called our own efforts. We put trust in own efforts. But our security should be in the column called abide. So put our trust and security in abide. Otherwise, that account won't reconcile. So B, Christ is not just forgive our sin. He is the source of our life. What can I say more about this? I pray today for everyone here. If Jesus is not already, which is also called the Word, is not your bread of life, and you're not talking to him in prayer and he becomes the air you breathe, allow him to be your source today. That is a desire in my heart today because you are loved. You're not alone. You're here amongst other people that love you and him too. We care about you, every one of you. Not emptily, not because we have to, because the love of Christ is why. God's love is demonstrated in the gift of his Son for our salvation. That is everything we need. So let me point you to our memory verse today. Let us read it together. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. To simplify, what are we straying from today? We're only wreckage apart from Christ. Sin leads to death spiritually and eternally. But here's the good news, and let us proclaim it. Salvation is a gift, not a reward. Faith receives what Christ has already accomplished. Eternal life begins now through faith by believing in him. He has every little thing already figured out. You're off the hook. Just abide just be. Be ready. He wants to use you too. So again, let's answer questions to ask ourselves. Do I truly believe this promise is for me? If I have already answered this before in my life, but there's still more I'm holding on to, Lord, help me, let it go today. Will you give all to Him and stop trying to fix every little thing? Going forward, share this gospel with others. Yes, we're called to love. We're also called to share it. We're commissioned to do this. It's called discipleship. If you're uncomfortable with it, it's okay. We have huddles to make it easier, to give you a confidence in who you are in Christ and to show you how to share the word with others. Reach out to us here or at hopeonthebeach.com and we'll tell you how to be involved with a huddle or group to help you. Before you leave, if you need prayer, please don't leave with that need unaddressed. We have elders here and others. And as I'm looking out, I know there's others here that would love to pray with you. But please don't leave with that need unaddressed. We care and we want to care for that need with you. So, live in confidence, not fear of judgment. I pray today you let God's love reshape how you see others. And finally, I just want you to know that you are a gift from God. Let us pray. You, Lord, are the one who heals our heart, Lord. You love us, Father, not because we deserve it, Lord. Where we have strayed, Lord, please bring us back. Please allow us to bear fruit that reflects your love, not our will, and to rest and abide and be in you alone. Jesus, you are the source of all our life and all our fruit. We abide in you because apart from your love, Lord, we have nothing. And we ask this in Jesus' name, who taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and glory forever and ever. Amen.
We want to thank everyone for taking time out of your day to praise God for continuing to bless our lives day in and day out. Because your sacrifices allow you to be fruitful and they allow you to be abundant, much like our offerings, as the Word of God says. And we've provided you with an envelope if you'd like to give in person today. There are several ways to give outlined in your folder, and that includes hopeonthebeach.com or our text to give number. So if you're like me and giving electronically is the way to go, because nobody wants to try to read my cursive handwriting on a check, good luck to you on that. But those are the ways that you can give with us today, and your offerings are blessings, blesses the lives of others, and it honors God our Lord. So also, if you would like to take a look on the back of your worship folder, you've got a schedule of our hope happenings and things to come. I want to make sure I point out again that we have a family walk to the cross next Sunday on the 29th, and this is for families and for kids. We've got an awesome breakfast being served at 9:30. Then there's going to be a little lesson, and then there's going to be all kinds of family activities, arts and crafts, and so families, we hope you'll come out. And please let your friends, neighbors, and family know about this event too. And you'll see that we have our Holy Week schedule on the back, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and all of our Easter services. And if God has put it in your heart to serve and to help us reach others on Holy Week, you can come and serve with us, and you can mark that on the back of your connection card. So at this time, if you'd like to take your offering envelope and your connection card, you can put them on the plates on your respective side, and we're going to keep on worshiping.
Before we do that, I'd like to mention something else.
Uh-oh.
Easter bulletin party.
Oh, yes.
So we're putting our bulletins together on Wednesday at 1 p.m. Please join us. We got like 3,000 bulletins to assemble, so.
Love lifting me. Love lifting me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifting me. Love lifting me. When nothing else could help, love lifting me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Let's rise real quick. So we know that there's a lot of hardship right now in the world. And one of our folks here asked for a certain prayer, so I'd like to pray. Is that okay? All right. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you so very much just for being with us here today. And we pray that you are with those that are in conflict, that are in pain, that are just hurting. We pray that they feel your presence and for a hedge of protection over them. We know that you love them and all things are possible for you. So we just pray that over all that are suffering and all that are going into conflict. We love you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, holy, holy is he. Yeah. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only YISK. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Oh.
with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. As you go today, receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give everyone here and all you know peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.